right, I'm just going to tell you, we're bringing back baptism today. And it's, I was trying to think, I believe the last time we had baptism was March of last year. And it is time. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I believe we have 16 people being baptized today. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm really excited about today. So that's the highlight of the day. And you know how we do it around here. We don't do quiet, reverent baptisms around here. We do loud and rowdy and crazy, and we just say thank you, Jesus, for changed lives. All right, and so that's what we're doing today. And we are starting a brand new series. I want to tell you about that in just a minute. But before I tell you that, I want to just give a little bit of a commercial for Servolution, which is coming in about 6 weeks. Yep. Yeah. Servolution is one of those things that's been a part of the fabric of Grace Point for a long time. Servolution is a weird word, all right? I'll give you that. As a matter of fact, if you try to type it, it tells you you're spelling it wrong. And but Servolution for us just very simply means 1 week of intense servanthood right here in our community. And so we will do all sorts of outreaches. We've done in the past outreaches to the firemen and the police officers, and we've done outreaches to teachers and to nurses, and we have handed out quarters at the laundromat. You want to get a funny look from somebody, hand them a bag of quarters at the laundromat. And then we get to tell them about Jesus. We do a $1 car wash, which we get people in the parking lot by saying, hey, we'll wash your car. They think we're saying, we'll wash your car for a dollar. We're really saying, if you come in here, we're going to wash your car and give you a dollar, all right? And so people are, I think it's actually in the opening video, it's the weirdest feeling for those people when they get their car washed and they're sticking the dollar through and we're sticking a dollar back through the door at them, you know? And so it's going to be 1 week of intense servanthood right here in Irving. And so if you have an idea and would like to lead a group of people to serve your community, it could be mowing yards for the day, it could, you name it, any way you can think of to serve people, we're going to be doing it that week. And so if you have an idea and a way that you would like to serve some folks, then just email the church. You can do that from the church website, and it'll get to the right place, and then somebody will contact you about that, and we can serve our community. One of my favorite things is when somebody recognizes one of our Servolution t-shirts, and I'm at a convenience store or somewhere, and they will say, hey, that t-shirt, you mowed my grandma's lawn last year. And we're like, yeah, we did. That's awesome. And so we passed out little cards that say, love where you live. And I was at a convenience store here in South Irving, and they had it posted on the back of the cash register, love where you live. And I'm like, that's my shirt right there. We're in this thing together. So it's going to be a fun week. So I just encourage you to be a part of that. We're going to really start talking about it over the next couple of weeks and give you more and more details as we go along. So be thinking about that. Today, we're going to start a brand new series, and we're calling it Questions. We're going to do 4 weeks about questions that we have about our faith. Why we do certain things, why is it that this is important, and why does the Bible tell us it's important? And so today, we're going to start with a simple question. Why is it that we go swimming at church? We're doing baptism today. All right, when you signed up to go back to get baptized, you texted the word swim to the number, and you got signed up for baptism, all right? And for a lot of people, there are so many questions about why would we be baptized? Why does God tell us to be baptized, okay? Now, if you had designed this system of salvation, you might have designed it differently than God did. I might have designed it differently. But he said, since he is all-knowing and almighty and all-powerful, then he decided that this is the way it was going to be. So we're just going to jump right into it. Why should I get baptized? Why is it important to get baptized? Well, here's the first reason. Because you've surrendered your life to Christ. When you surrender your life to Christ, that's when you get baptized. There's no need to get baptized if you don't surrender your life to Christ, right? Because God is working in our lives. It's sort of like buying a wedding ring but not having a wife, all right? Or not having a husband. That wouldn't make much sense. We get married and then we exchange rings, and we do that not because the ring makes us married, but because it symbolizes our relationship and our commitment to another person, all right? And so that's what baptism is all about. When we surrender our lives to Christ, we're saying, I know it had nothing to do with me, it had everything to do with God. And Ephesians 2 and 8 says this, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So here's what he's saying. You're saved by grace through faith. In other words, you didn't earn this. You didn't do anything to bring this on yourself. All you did was said yes. So when you got married, you said yes. The preacher said, if you promise to be here tomorrow and you promise to love this person, just say I do. And you said, I do. And you were all silly and you didn't know what you were getting into. All right. But it's had its good moments. It's had some tough ones. But overall, it's been pretty good because you're still sitting by them this morning. So we're going to say it was a win. Now listen. Then you, after that, they say you're going to exchange these rings. And these rings, everywhere you wear them, will remind you of the commitment you're making to each other right here today. And baptism is us saying, Lord, I know I had nothing to do with this. This is all by your grace. You are the one that saved me. I didn't earn it. I couldn't do it on my own. I know that I needed you. Now, I don't want to skip the question of how do we surrender our lives to Christ. Sometimes we get to that point that we're pushing and pushing and pushing and trying to accomplish it all on our own. And I was having a conversation with someone this morning before we started, and the topic was this. Sometimes we dig a hole for ourselves that God has to help us get out of. And if you've dug a hole for yourself that you know only God can help you get out of, it's time to surrender. We've been digging and we've been working and we've been trying, and we're saying, we finally realize we can't do it on our own, and we say, God, I surrender it to you. So how do we do that? How do we surrender it all to God? Well, I like to say it's in three easy steps. We admit that we've sinned. First, you got to admit it. You got to admit that you need Jesus. You got to admit that you're not perfect. I know that's hard for some of us. We think we got all the answers until one day we realize we had the wrong list of questions. Not only do we not have the answers, we don't even know what the questions are. We got to admit that we are unworthy of God's grace. We admit we've sinned. We've all sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody's messed up. Everybody has messed up. Everybody probably will mess up. That's why we need Jesus. So we admit that we've sinned. And the second one is believe on Jesus. You're going to believe in you, or are you going to believe in Jesus? Whew, man, I know who I'm believing in. I know me too well to put my faith in me. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus and what he did and what he means for every one of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Our job is to believe in him above everything else. And then the third thing is confess him with your mouth. You got to say it. You got to say it. You got to say it out loud. Romans 10 and 9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So you got to say it. In other words, there's no such thing as a closet Christian. Shh, don't tell anybody. I don't want them to know today. You got to proclaim Jesus as your Savior. So if I want to surrender my life to God, that's what I do. I admit, I believe, I confess, A, B, C. Start my relationship with God. Now here's the second reason we get baptized. Because Jesus was baptized and wants us to baptize others. Jesus was baptized. Now remember, Jesus was perfect. The Bible said he was tempted in every way, just like all of us. Everything you've been tempted with, he's been tempted with it. It's been put in his face. He's had to deal with it. And the Bible says he did it without making bad decisions. He did it without sin. So Jesus, knowing that he was going to be baptized, gave us an example of what it looks like for us to obey him. He goes to John the Baptist. John the Baptist we named because he was the guy that baptized Jesus. I mean, if you baptize Jesus, people got to remember you, all right? So Jesus goes to John and he says, I want you to baptize me. And John If he was from Texas, he would have said, "Ain't no way, Lord. You should be baptizing me. Why would I baptize you?" And Jesus goes on to sort of put him in his place. And finally, John was like, okay, I get it. I'll do it, you know. And he baptizes Jesus that day. And Jesus gave us this example after his baptism, after Jesus was baptized, right? As he came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. It was a divine moment where the Holy Spirit just confirmed what was happening right here. And everybody around saw what was going on and saw that this was an important moment, not just to Jesus, but it was an important moment to the world. Jesus was baptized and as an example for us, and he wants us to obey him and follow his example in baptism. And then he wants us to baptize other people. He wants us to share this message with the world. Matthew 28 says this: Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this: I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." So he said in verse 19, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So when we get baptized, we're saying, "I want to follow Jesus in obedience. I want to do this the way he is calling me and asking me to do this. I want to follow him with my whole heart. I've surrendered my life to God. Now I'm going to start obeying God." Sometimes people get those out of order. So I've had people say to me, "Well, when I can get some things in my life changed, I'm going to start serving God." What they mean is, "I want to get all cleaned up, and then I'm going to surrender my life to God." That is the wrong direction. God wants you to surrender, and he'll help you get everything cleaned up. He'll forgive you, and he'll encourage you, and he'll help you, and he'll give you strength, and he'll empower you to do what needs to be done. Don't wait until you got your life in order and perfect to surrender to God. Now is the time when things are a mess, because we got ourselves in this mess, and we don't have the tools to get ourselves out of this mess. So God is saying to every one of us, "I got open arms. I'm ready. I want you to follow me, and then I want you to go and tell some other people. I want you to share this message." Now here's number three. We get baptized because we want people to know that we have decided to follow Jesus. We get baptized as a public proclamation of our faith. We're doing this in public this morning. I got baptized when I was 9 years old. I was talking to one of the guys here this morning. He's 9 years old. He's getting baptized. And I remember exactly when it happened and what was happening and why I got baptized and what it was all about, that I started a relationship with Christ, and I'm grateful that I walked with Christ. Now, I got away from him. I wasn't perfect. We're just not going to talk about all that this morning, all right? But I got away from Christ a little bit, but got back to him, all right? I knew where my safety net was. I knew where my salvation was, and it came to that point where I said, okay, it's time for me to fully surrender it to him. And because God wants us to make a proclamation of our faith. So here's what happens. I can say, "I'm a Christian," and keep it real secret. It doesn't change my life. But when I get to that point in the progression of my faith that I am willing to stand up in front of everybody and say, "I'm surrendering my life to Christ. I want to follow Christ," that means we're serious about it. When we go and tell other people. Now listen, when we get baptized, it is not a proclamation of perfection. You don't get baptized because you go, "I'm perfect now. I got it. Just watch me. That's faith thing, I can handle it." Because here's what happens to people who say that: flat on their face tomorrow morning, early. All right? It just doesn't work. The Bible tells us that pride comes before a fall. We understand all that. So we're not saying when we get baptized that we're perfect. We're saying, "I know that my faith is in Christ, and I want to surrender my whole heart and life to him, every part of me, and I want to tell people about it." Now, here's number four. We get baptized because baptism is a powerful symbol of what Jesus did for us. Now, when we get baptized, we're reminded of what Jesus did for us. Think back to when Jesus died for your sins. So the Bible tells us that Jesus died. He was crucified. It was a brutal, horrible death. You wouldn't wish this on anybody, the way he died. He dies on the cross. His body is taken down. He is put into a borrowed tomb. He was buried, right? I always love that the Bible specifies it was a borrowed tomb. Jesus was good with his money, right? He didn't want to buy a tomb he was only going to need for 3 days. All right? So they put him in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, or during that 3 days, everybody that has followed Jesus is looking at him saying, man, he did some amazing stuff, but I guess this ride is over. I guess maybe he's not exactly who he said he was. But then Sunday morning comes, and some people go to the tomb, and there's an angel there, and the angel says, hey, he's not here. He has risen. He's alive. And the Bible says for the next several days, he spends time with his disciples. I love the fact that he cooked fish on the beach with his disciples after the resurrection. My mama used to say even Jesus appreciated a good fish fry. All right? Jesus spent time with his disciples, and then 500 people see Jesus ascend. In other words, leave earth and go to heaven. 500 people see him do that. So it wasn't like one person thought, this would be a good idea, I'm going to tell this story. 500 people, eyewitnesses, saw Jesus ascend to the Father. He goes, and the Bible tells us that today he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me. Here's what he's saying. Our children down there are worth something. They need us. They need forgiveness. They need grace. Jesus is the one that's pleading your case. He's the best lawyer you ever had. So when we get baptized, here's what we're saying. Lord, I want the old man in me to die. I want the old man to be in the past. I want the new man to be in the future. I want to be changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Amen. So when we get baptized, it's a symbolic gesture that the old man has been buried and the new man has been brought to life. It's a powerful thing that we realize it's not up to us to change our future. It's God changing our future. It's God working in our future. Why do we get baptized? To say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you for what you're doing right now, but thank you for the eternity that is to come. I remember when I was a little boy, the old people, which I'm getting closer to their age now, they always loved to sing songs about heaven. And back then there was a red hymnal book. It was called the Church Hymnal. I don't know who thought of that. But anyway, there were songs like page 333 was I'll Fly Away. Man, we sang that one every week. I'll Fly Away. I always thought, what does everybody want to fly away from? What's so bad? I don't get it. Now I get it. We live in a messed up world. My future and your future is not here. My future is in heaven. I'm not a citizen of this world. You're not a citizen of this world. We're citizens of heaven. We're just not there yet. And all those songs about heaven, when we look around and we see everything that's happening in our world today, all those songs start to mean something. That God is preparing a place. Jesus said to his disciples, all right, I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you so that when I come again, I can take you and you can be with me. And he said, look, you know the way. And one of his disciples said, Lord, we don't know the way. And I love this. Jesus was known for just simplifying everything, right? Just make it simple so that the dumb people can get it, all right? I feel like that's, anyway, all right. So he says, the disciple says, but Lord, how do we know what you're talking about? We don't know the way. And Jesus said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Look, I am the way. He pointed himself. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Jesus said, look, you just need me. You just need a relationship with me, and I'll get you to the right place. My dad is a real outdoorsman. I mean, he raised me fishing trips and just outdoors all the time. And there were some times when we were roaming the woods and I didn't know where in the world we were. But I knew he did. I knew I was going to be fine. Just keep up with him. Just pay attention enough. Don't get separated. Because he knows the way. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying to you and me today. I don't just know the way. I am the way. You just come to me and I'll make sure you get where you're supposed to go. God wants to work in our lives. If you've never surrendered your heart to Christ, I want to give you this opportunity this morning to know Jesus. We admit that we've sinned. We believe on Jesus. We confess him with our mouth. And just start your journey with the Lord today, whatever that looks like. Wherever you're coming from, God still has a plan for you. No matter how bad the past looks in your eyes, God still sees a redeemed future for you. All right? It's up to us to surrender it to him. So we're going to pray. You pray that prayer in your own way and surrender to him. Lord, we thank you so much for loving us and caring about us. We thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for us. And Lord, we admit that we've sinned. We know we've sinned. We believe in you. Lord, we believe in you. And we confess you as our Savior. We surrender our lives to you. We ask for your help and your will. And we thank you for what's coming. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know how many that was, but it's so many. My heart is just filled this morning. No. Amen. I had a conversation with someone the other day, and this person said to me, we started coming to Grace Point, and we didn't feel judged, even though we weren't living our lives for God at the time. And he went on to say, you guys just loved us, and God started working, and God started changing stuff. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to get to be a part of a church where you can walk through those doors, and you don't have to be perfect, and you don't have to have it all figured out, but you just come in here with everybody else that's messed up, and you just go, we need Jesus, and that's why we're here, and that's what this morning is all about. It's about God doing it. Amen. 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 So I want you to stand with me, everybody. I want you to think of one person in your life that you love dearly, but that person doesn't know Jesus. And we're just going to pray for them right now. You pray for them yourself. We're just going to agree together right now for God to draw them close to him. Not because we think we're better than them, because we have seen what God can do in our lives. And we want him to do the same thing and better in the lives of the people that we love. So let's just pray for those folks right now. God, we thank you so much for what you've done for us. We thank you that you love us. And when we fall, you pick us up and you forgive us and you help us to take the next step, Lord. And God, we know that there are people in our lives that we love dearly and we want to see them feel that same love that we have felt from you. We want them to sense your love and your grace and not feel judged and not be looked down upon. But God, we want them to know who you are, that you gave it all up so we could be saved. And Lord, we pray that your will would be done for their life and that you would draw them close to you in Jesus' name. Bless us as we go. Thank you for what's been accomplished here this morning. We give you the glory and we receive all that you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Love.